from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 216, recorded live Thursday, June 3rd, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows forums and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott and his wife, Mo, talk geek relationship tips.
Hello, small wife.
Hi, dear.
This is another episode of Hansel Minutes.
Yay.
So, you had had the idea, Mo. Mo is my wife. Everyone say hello to Mo.
Hi, everyone.
To do a show on being married to a geek. And that sounded more like a coping mechanism show. Like, you would teach people how to, I don't know, get over being married to someone who's so horribly damaged like a geek. But I think that calling it Geek Relationship Tips is so much of a better title than coping with attention deficit disorder. Or
that's right. Before you get a divorce, people, listen to this show.
I don't think this tips. Show is going to help anyone not get a divorce. But that, okay. What a wonderfully positive. Avoiding divorce with geeks.
That's right. Yes.
So geek relationship tips, I think, is what we're going to call it.
Right. Sounds
right,
good.
Because there's a lot of people out there who are listening that are programmers. And would you say, Mo, that programmers have different personalities, quirks, stylistic?
Yeah, I would. I mean, pretty much in a word, programmers are weird. You know, you're sort of your own breed. You're out there on your own, and it takes a while to kind of understand the person behind the weirdness. But once you do, I think it kind of makes sense.
And is this weird in a, like, some kind of damaged way, or we just like things just so? I mean, it's not like I'm lining up my silverware a certain way, like making sure it's all perpendicular to the plate, and you know.
Yeah, not quite to that extent, but I mean, you know, you definitely like your things a certain way, right? You like your peanut butter, and you'll notice the difference between if I get...
Yeah, what was that this morning? That was chunky freaking peanut butter. What was that?
Yeah, you know, anybody else...
I choked that peanut butter down this morning. That was some of the nastiest... Where was the creamy peanut butter?
Who does that? Who notices that level of detail, the minutiae, you know, to that point, you know?
Well, I mean, this morning... This is the tragedy of my life for the listener.
Yes, yes.
So this morning I choked down a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with high fructose corn syrup strawberry jelly, not the low sugar jelly I'm used to, and some kind of expired. It was like it had an expiration date of January 2010. I always check the expiration dates.
And right there,
this is true. You know? Of crunchy peanut butter, and I'm like, wow, who would? Crunchy peanut butter. What is that? Who would put peanuts in a peanut butter? And that's definitely not because we're on vacation right now.
That's right. So we rented a house, and the house has a lot of the, you know, the basic stuff. You bring your own food, but they have all the ketchup and the condiments and what have you. And they had the peanut butter, so we didn't bring our own peanut butter. And
right, but ketchup is a condiment. I can understand not bringing ketchup. But who doesn't bring peanut butter?
But we digress.
That's a protein.
We digress on this issue because. Let's talk about relationships.
Okay, so when we got married, you were just out of business school.
Yeah.
And you had the idea early on, I think, because we had only dated, we've been married now.
Going on 10 years.
It's longer than
and,
that.
And you should
it's
know 11. That. You should know that.
No, but it's like 11 years, isn't
it? Well, it's 2010.
But we got married, you're right, 2000. Okay, 10 years.
Dude, come on, man.
This is not a detail I need to worry about, but
you
peanut
see,
butter.
The thing is, exactly, you don't remember that, but you remember the peanut butter. And
I thought it was 11 years. It feels like 12.
Oh, man.
You had had the idea that we would make a geek, not a geek mission statement, that we would have a mission statement, like a business. We would say, this is what our marriage believes in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, being people with different backgrounds, but both being college educated and what have you, and having a business mind, it seemed kind of to make sense for us to define who we were going to be as a couple, what we were going to be about, and the kinds of things that we wanted. You have a goal for anything that matters to you, and I think for both of us, this marriage was important. And so we kind of.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, exactly. What a coincidence. Yeah. So I think we're both in agreement that we should come down, write down something, or not write down, but think about what is it that we want out of life.
I mean, it's not like we had it like framed and stuff, although we could have done that.
It's that good. Yeah.
It is that good.
We should make t-shirts.
What is the mission statement we came up with?
Yeah, you tell me.
Is this a test or I was
That's
just trying?
Right, exactly.
I was, as a good host, I was trying to defer to you.
No, it's okay. We're equals
so
here.
Our mission statement was to have a drama-free marriage. We just basically decided that our marriage wouldn't kind of, to use kind of an old American stereotype, it wouldn't spill out into the front yard and bother the neighbors. We would keep our drama to a minimum. And by drama, we just wanted to figure out what were those things that typically cause drama and trouble in marriages, and we could remove them. So then we could focus on the really good drama.
That's right.
And not the basic stuff that becomes a big problem. So we came up with a couple of ideas on what we could do to make it just easier.
Mm-hmm.
When we said drama-free, we're just saying that we don't want to have to fight about regular stuff on a regular basis for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And be calling the cops and be going to the hospital and be cutting each other, whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's drama. You know?
Definitely, I think avoiding cutting each other is definitely a high, right. High on the marriage tips. Avoid cutting.
That's right.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
No, this is more, these are really mundane tips even.
Yeah.
But they make life easier. And the first one that you came up with was the allowance system.
Yeah. And actually, I think you are the one that came up with this. You know, one of the things that a lot of couples fight about is money. And they just can never seem to agree. How many accounts do you have? You know, who handles the money and what have you? And I think right off the bat, I mean, I still remember to this day that you said two things. You said, you know, one of the things was avoid resentment, and the other thing was that this is figure out the money situation. So we've never really had any kind of arguments about money because we set it up so that it was an open system. And one of the ways to do that was exactly that, to do the allowance system.
Right. And this isn't about having a lot of money or having a little money. This is about, because we've had arguments about there isn't enough money to do X, Y, Z. Those kind of arguments are happening. But we're talking about the basic paycheck to paycheck arguments like, what's this $8 at Target? Those kind of arguments. Or why did you buy an Xbox video game for $50? We don't have that money.
Right.
Those are things. Because in the first few months of marriage, when we basically got one account, we put all the money into a pile. We'd pay the bills, and then what would happen is, if you imagine this looking through an online bank statement, mm-hmm. you would see rent, electricity, gas, and then it would be like $2, $3, $4, $2, $5, $8, $12, $50, and it would go on for pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just mm-hmm. onesie, twosie, little crap. And we would sit there and we would argue, lowercase a.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we'd argue about $4.50 for da-da-da. Mm-hmm. What? You got your nails done.
Why are you eating, you know, a $70 lunch two times, you know, a week or whatever? Or
exactly.
Yeah.
So the idea was what? To make this simpler.
Just have an allowance and you use that for all the trivial things. So you want to take yourself out to a fancy lunch on Monday. Hey, you know what? Take yourself out to a fancy lunch on Monday. But when the allowance is gone, the allowance is gone. So from that point on, we just eat at home.
Right. So we put all of our money into one account. As a direct deposit, then our rent and the big bills, the kind of the five big bills or whatever, you know, the insurance mm-hmm. and stuff like that comes out. And then we pay each other in cash, an allowance.
Right.
Let's just pick a round number. Let's say it's $100. Mm-hmm. You get $100. I get $100. And then I can go and save that money and eat at home every day. Or I can eat at Quiznos every day, but then I can't buy an Xbox game. Or whatever. And you can have your nails done or not, or buy clothes or not. And then suddenly, the online ledger, the online checkbook just collapsed.
Yeah, the noise went away. You know, the $7 is and the $10 is and all the mm-hmm. the background noise that you just was obnoxious went away because you went from what, you know, 200 entries to down to what, 10 a month or something like that. It was a lot cleaner and easier to take a look at.
And I've got money in my pocket. I've got a couple of 20s in my pocket, folding money, I like to call it, little walking around town money. And if I want to take that money and go and buy a video game or whatever, I can do that. Or if I want to eat at Chipotle every day this week. But when the money's gone, the spending stops.
Right.
And that's the trick.
Right. So you want to find an amount that you're comfortable with that, you know, you can take your whole paycheck and make an allowance if you want, but that's not going to work very well when the bills come. So you want to find an amount that is appropriate for you in your situation. And then once it's gone, do whatever with it. And it's what I like about it too is it's guilt free because you don't get to challenge me then and say, why did you spend your allowance on that? It's at my discretion. Mm-hmm. What I want to do with it is what I want to do with it.
Right.
You can blow it all at once. I can keep it all, whatever.
Now, this, of course, doesn't count for, you know, big family things like buying a couch or if we decided as a family to buy a DVD player or something.
Right.
But, I mean, I went and bought some shoes that were, you know, maybe a little more expensive. My prerogative because I had the cash. A little while back, I did buy an Xbox, but I saved up.
Right. Right.
And it's just like allowance when you were a kid. But it's amazing the arguments that you don't have. I mean, I'll come in to the house and I'll see a big pile of clothes that you've bought from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to feel bad. I don't have to resent. I don't have to worry or be suspicious. All those complex emotions go away because you get the same allowance that I do.
Right.
And you don't have any hidden credit cards or any secret credit cards. So you must have paid for it with your allowance. Therefore, I can focus on the, oh, this is a nice outfit and isn't that great?
Exactly.
And not on the who paid for this and why did this happen?
Right. And to be clear, the allowance is just for fun stuff, as you said. So, you
personal
know,
stuff.
Exactly. We're not paying rent with allowance. You know, we're not paying getting fuel, for the cars and all that stuff. Yeah.
And the other thing is that, when we are in tight times, financially tight times, which has happened, we'll lower the allowance as a group.
Right.
We might say, all right, well, we're going to get $50 instead of $100.
Exactly.
As a team.
Right.
It's so important to set expectations and to not, because the goal here, as you said at the very beginning, is to avoid resentment. And resentment appears to be the number one thing that really causes trouble in a marriage. It's that festering resentment.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, women, not to sort of put women in a box, but our memories are so much better. Married to a geek or not, I stand by that statement.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to remember.
The important stuff. I think women remember the important stuff. And
not the internet movie database type
stuff? Yeah, no.
Who's that guy in 24?
Yeah, that's a useless detail to remember. You know, I'm going to remember how long we've been married. You know, I'm going to remember the kids' birthdays.
Or our anniversary.
Yeah, you know, and that type of thing. But it is really, resentment is such a key thing. And so there are moments, I think, when I've had to kind of let stuff go. You've said that, you know, just kind of because I remember it. 10 years into it, I've got 10 years of baggage with you that I remember.
As a person with no memory, myself speaking, it is such a freeing, such a freeing thing, because you seriously remember arguments that we had at parties 8 years ago, you know, and you'll say something like, you always do this. And I'm like, you know, 2002, I did that once.
Yeah.
And I don't remember these things. I don't remember last Tuesday unless I have to go and check my calendar.
Right.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman from another parallel universe. Got to tell you about some of our things our sponsors are doing. They make this free podcast possible. If you're developing a new line of business application, you've probably tried the latest version of Silverlight. Now you can get even better results by combining the functionality in Silverlight 4 beta with some of the richness of the third-party controls from our friends at Telerik. They're the first vendors to offer native support for the Silverlight 4 beta and their RAD controls. They've got a new Silverlight 4 CTP suite of these controls. They let you tap into the framework's great potential. You get native right mouse click and all the new features of Silverlight. There's 38 controls that give you all these features. You can start building those compelling line of business applications right away. I encourage you to check those products out at Telerik.com/Silverlight. And, thank Telerik for supporting .NET Rocks, supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page at facebook.com/Telerik. Now back to the show.
I'm just like one of those, it's like one of those movies with Robin Williams where I'm living in the moment. And it's like,
exactly. You know,
who are
there's
you?
No past.
Where
exactly.
are we? There is no past.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so what do you want to say though about resentment as a tip? I mean, just obviously
Every system that we've come up with avoids resentment. If you build up frustration or anger or resentment, and resentment is the perfect word for describing this, then that's what bites you later.
Right.
So one of the other things we wanted to avoid is that since you took time off of working outside the home And now you work inside the home.
Mm-hmm.
You worked in nonprofits for a number of years.
Right.
And now you work in another kind of nonprofit,
exactly.
which is taking care of the boys.
Yeah.
The idea of having time for yourself
yeah.
became a big problem. And this was actually, we ended up doing this for 3 years before we actually, we just kind of went through life for 3 years before we came up with this system.
Right.
And I think it was John Lamb who suggested this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is what?
Mommy and Daddy Day.
Okay. Now, this isn't date night, though. What is Mommy Day and Daddy Day?
So, basically, I mean, I'm off the clock, if you will. At a certain point, after you get home from work, you know, you're going to handle the kids. You're going to make them dinner. You're going to put them down. You're going to, you know, basically, you're the one that's responsible for them. And I get to just go out and play, relax, have a good time, whatever I want to do.
Right, so, you literally punch out. Not literally, but... almost literally. You're like, okay, it's 5:01 or it's 6 o'clock. Dad's home from work.
Right.
And you'll just say, okay, goodbye, everybody. It's mommy day. And all the kids are like, oh, it's mommy day. Yay.
Yeah.
And you'll get in the car and you'll disappear.
Right.
And then you'll come back, you know, 11 or midnight or wherever.
Right.
And you go to the movies or you go drive. I've seen you just drive towards Seattle and then turn around, drive back because you love driving.
Yeah, and you know, connect. Yeah, try
connect
you know,
with friends.
Go shopping, connect with friends, have coffee with girlfriends, and what have you. I mean, it's a fun time to connect with people and to just let go and take a break.
Exactly,
and I love that.
And we alternate Mommy Day and Daddy Day.
Right.
So it's every mm-hmm. other. I think we're doing it Wednesdays now or Thursdays.
Yeah, yeah,
something Wednesdays. Like that. Mm-hmm. Every other Wednesday, say for example, mm-hmm. it's Mommy Day last week. It's Daddy Day this week. Mm-hmm. I used my Daddy Days recently to build my arcade machine.
Right.
John and I would go over there.
Right.
And this is again guilt free.
Exactly.
And that's very important.
Yeah. Well, it's a win-win. I mean, you know, I tend to get tired, right? I've been with the kids all day and, you know, sometimes I get frustrated. I mean, they're young, they're high energy, you know, and it's work. I'm going. So it's great to just let go and recharge and not have to feel bad about it. You know, it's great because it doesn't cost from a financial point of view because you're watching the kids. So we didn't have to hire the sitter, you know, so you'll take care of the kids, you'll feed them, you'll put them down. And I get to just go and relax with my friends, my sister, whoever I want to see. Mm. And be okay with it because when I come back, I'm a better Mo and a better mom and a better wife mm-hmm. for it. You know, so it's a win-win-win for everybody.
And it's not just Mommy Day; it's also Daddy Day. And
right.
And this is the understanding that each of us works our 9 to 5.
Right.
And this is really difficult.
Well, and clearly, mommies work more than 9 to 5.
Clearly, yeah, 9 to 5:30, really.
nice.
No, but you know, there has to be an understanding that we are each working
right.
full time.
Right.
And while it might be easy for me to say, I'm working harder because I'm, you know, deep in thought or whatever, or you're working harder because you're having to physically lug the boys around. The point is, though, we're on.
Right.
And the point of Mommy Day and Daddy Day is to shut off.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And we found that the regularity of it really helped because rather than making it an ad hoc thing, like, can we make Friday Daddy Day? Which you never really know when they are, and they're it's very randomizing.
Right. We went ahead and we scheduled it, and we said, you know, every other, so twice a month I get Mommy Day, and twice a month you get Daddy Day. And that, you know, that consistency is good for us, but it's also good for the kids too, because once they know this is what happens, it's not a big deal anymore. So they can say, where's Mommy? And you can say, Mommy's on Mommy Day. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, they understand and they don't fight as much. Whereas I think if it's a onesie twosie, you know, once every other month type of thing, then they sort of feel like, wait a minute, you know, we don't do this. This is not typical for
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, recently, now that the boys are old enough to understand, this has extended into an interesting thing where we each take one child and we split mm-hmm. off. And it's like, there's a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So it's like 2-day and 4-day. And you'll take mm-hmm. the 2 and I'll take the 4 and then we'll swap.
Right.
And it'll be totally focused. So they know about kind of, pampering, I guess would be the word. I mean, this would be the adult word, but the idea is that it's like one-on-one time.
Exactly.
With the child. So we ended up doing that as well. So we'll swap back and forth. And I think I took the 2-year-old to see Elmo, and then you took the 4-year-old yeah. to see a play, and mm-hmm. one-on-one time.
Right. Yeah. It's hard when you're parents of, you know, multiple kids just to find that one-on-one connection time. Cause it's, you know, there's two of them. They're both talking at the same time and you want to be there for both of them, but it's a challenge. And so that's really cool to be able to do that. So I can focus on the, yeah. Exactly. Very good. Yeah. And the other thing, I mean, related to that, to having kids and the challenges and the joys of having kids is this whole idea of putting the marriage first. I think again, that was something that you came up with, Scott, that was really, really very cool. This whole idea that the marriage is a foundation and you build on it. Okay. So if you don't take care of the marriage, everything else is just going to fall apart.
And I remember when I suggested this, your initial reaction was negative
because I scoffed.
You scoffed. Oh, is that the sound of you scoffing?
That's right. Scoff, scoff.
You literally were like, no, 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 the children come first.
Right.
You're like, no, the kids are first. But if we put the kids first, where is the marriage?
Right.
And while it's easy to say, well, we'll put this first, we'll put that, you know, you want to put yourself first and then you want to put your kids first. Then next thing you know, everything is first. When you rank these things, you've got to say with a good marriage comes good parenting, comes good kids.
Right. Exactly. And I think once we sort of came to a consensus on that, which I will admit did take me some time, it then became very easy to teach the kids that whatever mommy and daddy say, we speak as one. You know, that was the other thing, that we seldom have these kinds of fights where the kids are sort of caught in the middle because mommy said yes and then daddy said no. They understand that if mommy says no, daddy's saying no too.
Right. That just never happens. I remember doing this to my own parents. The idea of dad said no, well, I won't tell mom that dad said no and I'll ask mom. Mom will say yes and then boom, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Having a unified front,
exactly,
it actually sits on top of all of these other systems, which are all based on the
right.
same idea.
Right.
And that kind of comes down to, it almost sounds like we're talking about a business here, but I guess a marriage in some extent is a business. You know, not having secrets, information sharing, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. if the 2-year-old or the 4-year-old wants something and says, hey, what did mommy say? What did daddy say?
Right.
They never play us against each other, at least not yet. I'm sure they'll become
well,
more
clever. Well, they try.
They try. Right. Well, yeah, what I'm saying, they never succeed.
Right.
At least
right.
not yet.
Yeah.
And all of that is about sharing information.
Right. Right. Well, I think, you know, again, it's about trust ultimately, right? You got to trust the person that you're married to and they've got to know who you are. So what is there to hide, right?
Right. Well, your wife or your husband or your spouse isn't just your girlfriend that you live with. I mean, I think that,
right.
I forget who said it, but there's a big difference between your live-in mate and your spouse. If you hold that marriage thing as being very sacrosanct,
mm-hmm.
then it's taking it to a whole other level.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, you have access to my email and, you know, I have access to your email. I think, again, that the communication, the conversation, we agreed right off the bat that we would each have, you know, we have the common credit card, and then you have one other, and I have one other, right? Because
yeah.
if I want to surprise you, I don't necessarily
yeah,
want you seeing, you know,
other.
So
yeah.
that type of thing. But if you have access to that, even if you
right, but
that,
but, but the fact that, like, for example, that we have a share, we have a password manager that has all of our passwords, mine and yours.
Right, right.
And if a picture of me with a... I'm just brainstorming here. There's nothing I need to tell you, though.
Yeah.
Is this
a confession in public?
Yeah, exactly, dear. Well, there was this time in Vegas.
That's right.
But, you know, if a picture of me with someone shows up on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, who the heck is this? Right? And I say, well, that was me 8 years ago or before we were married or that was at this party. There's no secrets in that respect. There's no need to say, oh, well, you know, we were at a party and this was one of the marketing people and we took pictures.
Right.
And there doesn't have to be a sense of something sneaky going on because there's no accounts that you don't have access to.
Right, right. I mean, again, trust, right?
And if you don't have that, then you don't really have a marriage.
Exactly. I mean, you travel, you know, this year you've traveled a fair bit. I mean, you've been all over.
It's been a rough year.
You're in China, you're in Australia. I mean, you've been traveling. And again, trust is going to be an important thing there, but
it's trust and communication.
Yeah.
And that comes down to setting expectations. Cause when I'm on the road, there's always that argument of like, well, how much did you check in?
Mm-hmm.
So we made a couple of agreements when setting expectations. It's amazing how setting expectations works in business. It works in life. It works in relationships.
Well, kids, it's everything.
The
yeah.
boys go down they go to sleep at a certain time.
Right.
So the expectation was that I will communicate with you in some way before the boys go down, no matter what time zone I'm in,
right.
to let you know whether or not we're going to have a Skype call.
Right.
And I'll be able to talk with the boys.
Right.
And if I'm on a train or I can't make it, at least I can get an SMS, a text message to you to say,
right.
not going to make it tonight. Let me talk to the boys on the phone.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
And I set the whole system up so you don't have to worry about the Skype and it just works.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. And actually, and speaking of phone calls, when I call you and the boys are being wacky or whatever in the background, you had this tendency to hang up on me. Not hang up like click, but like, I gotta go, click. And that really bothered me.
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, you we'd be talking and I'm forgetting that you're at the store or that the boys are, I don't know, swinging off the chandeliers or whatever. And then you would just have to go and then you'd click. But at the same time, I'd be talking to you and then somebody would call, maybe Scott Goo would call on the other line. And then I need to switch over quickly.
Right.
But in a graceful way. But there isn't time in these situations for you to, like, you know, if there's a child about to vault off the top of the refrigerator and you can't exactly explain that. You just
right.
have to. Mm-hmm. So I would be frustrated and resentful that I would get hung up on, and you would be frustrated that you would get hung up on. So we basically came up with an expectation. It wasn't really a system or anything. You just said one day, you said, listen, you actually were pretty funny because you were, you basically like looked at me like a child and you were like, okay, if I hang up on you, we're probably not getting a divorce.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you took it very personally,
well, yeah,
right?
You know,
but
it's just hanging up on someone's very personal.
Well, but if I can explain my side of it, right?
Well, if you must do it in public,
yes,
on our recorded podcast.
Exactly, that's right.
Yes.
You know, for the 10 people
so
who
what
be
was
listening.
The what was the story and how did we fix that?
I think again, expectations, you know, if you assume that it is not my goal to offend you, okay, it's not my goal to just hang up on you willy-nilly. If you assume that this is my wife who loves me, there's a reason, a compelling reason for her to do this, really, mm-hmm. all else will be okay. So if I'm sitting there and I'm watching the four-year-old, you know, for whatever reason, he's managed to climb on top of something, as you said, on the chandelier, and he's going to jump down.
We don't have chandeliers, but if let's just imagine the world where we did.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, to be so fortunate.
Actually, I could see him on the kitchen counter, though.
Right. He's managed to climb up there, and then he's you know, trying to leap off of it or whatever because his brother's standing at the bottom saying, I'll catch you. And he thinks the two-year-old can actually catch him.
Or a Wednesday, which is what we would call that. It would be a regular,
yeah, exactly,
usual
a regular Wednesday.
Wednesday
at the Hanselman household. Right. but, and you call at that moment. I have a couple of choices. Either I just don't pick up the phone, but because it's you, that was another agreement we had that, especially if you're on the road, if you call me, I will pick up. But I don't really have the full time to sort of say, hey, honey, how's it going? Listen, hold on. The four-year-old's about to leap off the counter.
You don't have that kind of time.
Exactly. So I would say to you, I can't talk. I got to go.
Click.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
No, but it wasn't, because then you wanted to know, well, why do you have to go? Explain it to me. Justify it to me. You know, it's like, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Trust that I want to talk to you.
Right.
Trust that there's a compelling reason I can't at this moment.
Exactly.
I'll get back to you.
So it seems like a silly thing, but the assumption is, assume that this is your wife. Assume she doesn't hate your guts, and she will probably call you back.
Right.
So I've had situations where I've called, and it's been like, you know, ring, ring. I'll call you right back. Click.
Right.
And that was it. Which means that, you know, something's on fire, or someone's on fire, and you will call me when they have been extinguished.
Right.
And inevitably you do.
Right.
And the same thing applies with work stuff.
Exactly. And I think once you manage to see it from your point of view of saying, yeah, you know, when my boss is calling, you know, I need to go and I may not be able to tell you, oh, he's calling because he wants to schedule a meeting or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of wrapping it all up, this whole set of things, there we had a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we care about? What is our marriage? What is our goal from a life perspective? Planning
drama free, people. Drama free. You can borrow this.
You're gonna make t-shirts, aren't you?
That's right.
We came up with an allowance system. We put the money in one pile. We pay ourselves first, and we shrink the allowance or raise the allowance based on how we're doing financially. But
right.
The point is that the administrivia, the minutiae of life, the personal, you know, buy a book or paperback. We don't use debit cards for that.
Once that cash is gone, it's gone.
Right. So to be clear, we're not buying a novel with cash. We're doing it. We're not buying a novel with a debit card. We buy
right,
it with cash.
With cash, exactly.
Candy, soda pop, whatever. Pants. Candy, soda pop, and pants. Really,
pants.
Those are the life.
Pants for the household.
Pants for all. Mommy day and daddy day.
Right. You
set
need a break.
Aside, just as you pay each other for your allowance, you need to set aside, pay each other in time.
Exactly. You need a break. You deserve it. Enjoy it. Come back better for
and
it.
And that's not just date night. We might have date night where mommy and daddy go out and do stuff, but
together.
This is more about having mommy and daddy have time away from the family.
Right.
Protracted time.
Right.
And even a couple of times we've had where you go off and use some of my airline miles
right.
and hang out for 3 or 4 days. just so you can decompress.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to have a unified front.
Right.
In front of the children.
Exactly.
And then for us, we found it really that it works for us to share passwords and share, you know, you're logging into my email and I'm logging into your email and we right. don't really sweat it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've never had any problem. I mean, it's hard to keep secrets for birthday parties, but...
Yeah, and again, if the communication is there, I hardly ever really feel the need to go into an email account, you know, because
Well, there was a time...
We're communicating so well.
Well, yeah, but like we're in the middle of selling a house and you were looking at my email, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Right, right.
And then there was a time when you were trying to plan something for a surprise party and you just said, your birthday's coming up, stay out of my email for the next couple
right.
of weeks. Mm-hmm. These are easily solved.
Yeah.
And then setting expectations for being on the road. When are you going to call? How long are we going to call? Mm-hmm. Not having those days or lulls or hours go by without communication.
Right, right.
And wondering, is he...
Yeah, is he okay? Are the kids okay? Yeah, exactly.
And then we had one problem, the hang-up problem.
Yeah.
This is just an example. You may have...
Something else, yeah. May
have some other problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you set an expectation for it, it's amazing how these seemingly large problems just go away.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, you know, love the person, right? And trust that... they are not out to hurt you, and the rest just sort of will fall away in time.
So why do you think that these things, these tips, work with geeks? Why are these things geek-specific? Is it because of our personality types? Or do you think this could be more than it? Maybe this is just relationship tips. Maybe it's not geek-specific.
Well, I mean,
why do these work so well for us?
These particular things work for us, I think, because you are a geek. But I mean, I could see it where similar things, maybe not necessarily in this specific format, but the concept is good for all relationships. I think this is important stuff you want to have, regardless of who you are and who you're married to. These particular ones just happen to work for us because you're such a weirdo. But we've come to love you as you are.
Well, I think the point is, though, to realize how each person thinks. And set up a system that doesn't necessarily cater too much to their personality types, but at least has a realization that we have these differences, that these things matter. Like the hang-ups thing, you had no idea that I was taking the hang-ups personally.
Right.
But once that came out, then it's like, all right, well, let's just come up with a basic system. Not complicated. None of these systems involve charts or graphs. I mean, nothing here involves
right.
big
right.
old calendars or complexity.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is any relationship is going to be work to a certain extent, right? So mm-hmm. be willing to invest in it, be willing to commit to it, you know, and when once you say this is important to me, then this will go a long way towards helping you. These tips.
Thank you, small wife.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to the beach.
To the beach.
All right. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.